Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, staying with the upcoming midterm elections, how will the news headlines of the past week, Ebola quarantines, lone wolf terror attacks, and the lowest gas prices in several years affect those races? Let's bring in Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. Ron, hello.
Good to be with you, Robin.
And start with the jockeying over an Ebola quarantine over the weekend. On Friday, we saw New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo and New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie standing together to announce mandatory quarantines for medical workers coming back from West Africa. One doctor is hospitalized with Ebola in New York. Then one nurse without any symptoms was confined in New Jersey. And after a weekend of pushback from her and the White House, Christie and Cuomo separately announced they'd allow for home confinement. And today, that nurse with no symptoms was released. How much of this is politics? How much of it is handling an unfamiliar virus?
It's both, Robin. There's no reason that those two need to be mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. The governors that we're talking about here have a responsibility to a lot of people who are deeply concerned about the arrival of people from West Africa and the potential for the spread of the disease. They've seen the science. They're hearing the reassurances. And I think we in the media need to be clear about putting all of this in context at every step along the way. But you can understand why people are concerned about being personally exposed or having someone they care about get near to one of these people who's come back from West Africa. So the governors are being responsible in responding to that. At the same time, of course, Andrew Cuomo's on the ballot next week. Chris Christie is spending a lot of time traveling around the country, getting ready for 2016. Andrew Cuomo's been mentioned also as a 2016 possibility. So they also have a political reason to want to be sure they're not caught on the side of this whole controversy that looks like they're asleep.
Yeah, well, yesterday, National Journal political writer Ron Fournier wrote on Ebola, conservative media organizations tend to exaggerate the threat and they try to stretch to link the Democrats to it. Some even talking about, the ISIS fighters are going to infect themselves with Ebola and come into the country. But liberal news organizations tend to minimize the threat and deploy condescension and mockery where a dose of empathy might be more persuasive. What is your sense about how it's being politicized?
It would make sense for everyone to try to be as even-tempered about this as possible, to look at the facts, look at the science, but also understand that there are bad actors in the world who would try to take this kind of an opportunity to use Ebola against the United States. And, you know, look, I mean, this entire episode is coming as a kind of undesirable icing on top of a multi-layer anxiety right. cake that we've been making our way through all autumn. We've had ISIS. We've had various kinds of terrorist threats here at home. We had another school shooting last week, and a volatile stock market. And people have reasons to be anxious. And, of course, in a political season, those are going to be exploited.
Well, interesting. Multi-layer anxiety cake. And yesterday on CNN, we heard Walter Isaacson of the Aspen Institute saying that he hadn't been on the same page as people like Paul Krugman, who are applauding President Obama on the economy. But then Isaacson said he realized something disconcerting, that Krugman was right, he was wrong. He said, we've come out of the recovery and recession far, far better than anywhere else in the world. And I think healthcare is absolutely transformative. Now, if you're a Democrat, you've got to be wondering, why isn't that message getting out? But as you just said, it has to get past the multi-layer anxiety cake.
That's right. Everyone knows that no news is good news, and you can flip that around, too. Good news is not really salient news. It's not what people are all talking about. You don't hear people on the street saying, hey, unemployment has fallen below 6% for the first time in almost 10 years. You don't hear people saying, I can afford a house much better than I used to be able to because all of a sudden interest rates on home loans are at record lows. You don't hear people saying those kinds of things. That's not water cooler conversation.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you hear them talking about Ebola, ISIS, and supporters of the Democrats would say, but those things are actually being held in check in this country, but the other message not getting out. And as a result, perhaps today's Washington Post identifies 11 Senate races that are toss-ups, an unusually high number this close to a midterm. Your thoughts?
I don't know that there really are 11. I think that at some point in the process, there's a reason for us all to go, gee, look at how many races aren't decided. I think probably a lot of those 11 are going to go the way that we expect them to go, but there could be some surprises. And really, in the sixth year of a presidency, in the second midterm, presidents, generally speaking, lose a lot of the people they carried in with them 6 years earlier on their coattails. We're seeing some of that this year. There were 5 Democratic retirements. There were some Republican retirements. We're seeing some volatility in those seats, as you would expect. So it's a six-year midterm in which a lot of seats are going to change hands. That's what we would expect.
Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor, as we look at the November 4th midterms around the corner. Ron, thanks.
Thank you, Robin.